Do you ever think about dying?
Yes.
Every day.
Yeah, I do too. I think about it quite a bit, and I've wondered before whether I was normal or not to think about it as much as I do. I've seen myself in my mind's eye many times laying, thinking what I'll look like in that laying there. I don't want to be morbid, but I've accepted the idea that and the reality of it. I've seen those that's ahead of me go. My grandparents have been gone for quite a while now. I married Linda. She's several years younger than I am, and when I married her, she still had two grandmothers alive, and buried the last one Monday.
Oh.
So they're gone. My spiritual mentors, been saved some 25 years now. Brother Sammons was there. He was a real blessing to me.
Praise the Lord.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Brother Clifford Wilson, he really meant a lot to me. He's gone.
Yeah.
We buried Brother Jim 2 years ago. He was the last, really, of my mentors, the older ones. So I accept that and realize that those things are coming. It makes me serious.
Yeah.
It makes me to think of things in a certain way. And I accept that. I don't usually title my messages, but I'd like to give you a title, something to think about tonight as we go through this. The Last Call.
Yes.
The Last Call.
Oh, Lord.
I believe tonight that God loves us.
Yes.
I don't believe that you and I can even understand to what kind of degree He loves us. The best that I can understand it, and it's the way the Lord meant it to be, is that Jesus died on the cross for me. That kind of love is the best way that I can understand it. I still think that because we're in this human makeup, this human body, I think it's limited to understand it. But that's the best we can do. But I think He loves us more than we can understand or know. His desire and passion for all of us is that we be saved. He wants the very best, not only that He gives us the eternal life, but I think God is very interested in us being the all we can be here. I think He wants us as people to be whole and happy and fulfilled as His creatures, as His creation. He wants to make us of something. I think the Lord doesn't come down in this and make everything perfect here. It will never be perfect here. But He gives us a perfect experience to deal with this imperfect world. He gives us the grace and power to still be happy and fulfilled and whole no matter what happens in this life. And He wants that for us. And He desires it. And so He calls. He calls to all of us. I hope tonight that you will listen for a little while and listen to the call that God wants to make.
Yeah.
God wants it to be fulfilled in this life. And always the hope of heaven in your life. Always the assurance that I am saved. I am met God. And I am saved. And when I leave this world, that it can be... I guess it's been a debate as long as there's been religion. Can you know? I believe you can know.
Yeah.
I believe you can have the witness in your soul tonight that you're saved.
That's right.
That you're absolutely saved, and without a doubt you can know. If there is doubt, I think that is a call. A doubt. Lord, help me to take care of the doubt that I have in my life.
Yeah,
the last call that I have tonight, because I don't believe that it's forever. I don't think God is there forever. I think there is a time. I don't think God changes. I don't think God's love diminishes because He's rejected. I don't think it diminishes at the end of it, but I think that every person can get to a place. Not because God loves you any less, but because it becomes no use any longer. I believe there comes a place that the call can never be heard. The last call can be made.
Yeah.
Where God is, the Lord we had last night, He is calling, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And it's a continual call. Come unto me, but I believe there's a place to where you can get to that you can't hear. And the last call will be made. So I'd like to look at that and start out tonight in the Scripture in Genesis. The 6th chapter of Genesis. And we'll start with the first verse. "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose.
Yes.
And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years.
Yeah.
Now I give you my understanding of this scripture. I believe the sons of God represents the righteous seed that came through Seth after Abel was destroyed. There was a righteous seed. And I'm just going to take a little while. I don't want to be off on them. Just want to take a little while to think about this, that when God created, He created Adam and Eve in His image.
Yeah.
They walked with God in the cool of the evening. And they communicated with Him. There was a communication between the Almighty and Adam and Eve in a way that we would never know. But there was a relationship there. They communed.
Yeah.
Well, that means that they related. They talked. I imagine I would ask questions. I think Adam probably had understandings about the nature of things that no one has ever had, because he communed with God.
Yes.
There come a time after the fall that they was put out in the garden. Sin had separated them from that ability to be in that presence. Not that God didn't want it to be, but you have to understand that they couldn't be, because they would be destroyed in His holiness. God, the sin would never stay there. It couldn't stand before God. He put them out of the garden, but there still was a longing, and it was showed up fairly quickly. They made offerings.
Yeah.
They was making sacrifices. There was desire there. There was a longing to God there, and it was transmitted into their child. On the righteous side. On the other side, there was transmitted a larger dose, it seemed. Everyone was in sin, but there was a larger dose, it seemed like. It don't seem like the separation was all mixed. That's what it seems like. There seemed like there was two communities. God had banned Cain off to one place, and there was another side, and there become a time that the descendants of Cain, you remember in the Scriptures, was the one that started double marrying. They was the one that started makers of musical instruments. They was the one that was following a very fleshly, sensual way. But the other side was the one, and Cain's offering was accepted. And through Seth, there was a righteous side. And I believe I don't believe it's any more technical than that when it talks of the sons of God. And the sons of God, I believe throughout a certain period of time, the sons of God kept themselves in that place of offering sacrifice to God and being concerned about the things of God and all that. And probably they wasn't mixing with the sons of, or the daughters of men. But there come a time, in the process of time, that things started happening.
That's right.
And when the Lord looked down on this certain time and seen what was happening and what was going to happen to the whole human race now.
Yes.
He said, My spirit will not always strive with men, as it is in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man.
Yes.
I wonder, God would have to be displeased with this world.
Yes.
In the court. He's got great love. But when they quit hearing, 120 years was the time designated for men's potential to change. God said, here's a period of time that I'm going to extend to them It's an opportunity of time to change. My spirit will not always strive, but with 120 years it will. And Noah then, he found Noah, and in that time period, Noah began to preach that God was going to destroy the earth, that you're doing evil and wicked in the sight of the Lord.
Yeah.
And he made a call, a plea. Well, we think 120 years as being a long time, but do you know it only represents about one-fifth to one-sixth of their lifetime at that time? It was only about one-fifth of Noah's lifetime was 120 years. And less than that to some of the other ones that was lived longer. And the Lord said, I'm going to call. I'm going to deal. I'm going to work with people. And it says here, and the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in, now listen, unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man, see, it had deteriorated, was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
These are the generations of Noah. It goes on and goes through that. Go on to the 7th chapter. But the Lord came and He gave the descriptions of He's going to build an ark. And He's going to save Noah and his family. And Noah was the Scripture in the New Testament says he was the, what was it, the 8th person, the preacher of righteousness. This was Noah that was out there preaching and teaching, but not only that, he lived the life that condemned them. He lived the life that they looked, that what he done, the way he done in his day, the whole world had a thought that the evil continually, the only imagination, everything they could think was corruptible, and they had no heart to sacrifice anymore. They had no heart to look to God anymore. It had gone in 120 years that God had given them. He gave them a time, but they had instilled themselves and where they should have said, these men of renown, and they was people that had understood, and when you've been with God, you understand things, and I think there was some science and some wisdom there that had come down through the understandings of the righteous side, but they dared sacrifice that, and they began to take on the daughters of men because they were, in one account, they were very beautiful. They were appealing. They dressed, and there was something that drew these sons of God away from their holy place and chosen to the fleshly place. But the children of that were men that understood, but yet understood it enough to do wicked with it. You know, it'd be a wonderful thing of the technology we had if we only done good things with it. No, I mean, think about it. Think of the great technology that we have that we could do good with. But is it all used for good? Most of it's used for such filthy things and ungodliness and all of those things. These were men who had talked about giants. I don't think it's talking about literal. I think it was talking about the ones that stood above the authorities. The men that understood. They were great in the land in that day. And those was the one. This was where the responsibility was. Those was the ones that began. You know, when it's just people that's not in authority, it don't make much difference. But when the authority begins to crumble, when they're corrupt, they lead people to corruption. They allow corruption. These men of renown should have been renowned enough to understand we got to stay away from that. We got to live righteously or God's not going to bless us. There is a God and we owe it to Him. But the men of renown turned themselves, it seems.
Oh, Lord.
And God was calling. And He called through a man named Noah. And Noah condemned the world. You know why? Because if one man can do it, all men can do it.
Yeah.
And Noah could do it there in his evil day. Folks, God is calling us to righteousness.
Amen.
Here in 2000, and 11 in this technological age, where there's evil on every corner and there's evil on every place you look, and it's getting blatant. There's things that would not have been allowed to be seen in public that you can see every day now.
Oh, that's awesome.
When my life, when I was young, it would have been a disgrace to, and now it's just open. Open language, open activity, open thing, just open.
Oh.
Just open. I never believed TV was the right thing. I never believed that it was something that was prosperous or does any good. I thank God we don't have one. Me and my wife, we say many times, why it would be so foreign to our family and our life, why it would be totally out of character for us. But do you know, even in that, they've changed a huge amount in my lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
When Elvis Presley first got on TV, they would not show him from here down because he, the way he moved his legs.
That's right.
Mary Tyler Moore was a woman that was well known as an actress and all, and she broke the barrier when she wore slacks on television because it was unheard of. Because of the way they fit, they called them indecent for a woman back then when she was in the 50s. They would not show one on the screen wearing one because it was indecent.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you, they went a long ways from that. Our world has been greatly declining. It says, "And the Lord said it unto Noah," in the 7th chapter, "Come thou and all thy house in the ark, for thee have been seen righteous before me in this generation." He goes on and tells what to put in there. I want to find one other place after he does this. When the waters begin to flow. Oh, where are we going to get it there?
Well, that's the 12th.
It talks about, anyway, I'll just go through it. You know the story, but the time came that they went into the ark and it began to rain, and I imagine that there was a lot of gainsayers against old Noah and the call. But I want to say tonight, there come a time that the echoing voice of Noah could be heard no more.
Right.
There come a time where the Lord said, the time is fulfilled. Noah, it's over. What you have done, it's done. Now get into the ark.
Yeah.
And it seems like that in that period of time that the Lord began to open up the heavens and the rain began to descend. Nothing like that had ever been in the human experience before. And it seemed like there was a scripture in the creation where the Lord said, and He put bounds on the water, that they'd only go so far. But there come a time that He let loose those bounds. They didn't just stop at the seashore anymore. The whole depth of the sea, it wasn't bound by the land anymore. He said, be loose the bounds. And the water came from the fountains of the deep, it called. And the water came up and the water came down. And the great deluge that happened in mankind happened. And there was a very, very stirring thought there that when it come that time, the Scripture says that the Lord shut the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to tell you folks, it was done that way for a reason. There was a reason why He didn't have Noah shut that ark door. There was a symbol in that. No man can open it. No man can shut it. Salvation is of God. He wants to call us to it. But when the Lord shuts the door, if a man can open it, a man can close it, he can open it again. But when the Lord opens it, and the Lord shuts it, no man can open it again. It isn't to be opened. And the Lord will close it one day for every one of us. And you may be here tonight with the best of intentions, but I'm going to tell you, there can come a time that the call, the echoing call of the Spirit of God will be no more in your life.
Right.
And you can say, I'm going to be saved. I will to be saved. I want to be saved before God. And God wants you to be saved. And then God says, okay, I know He'll be saved if I give Him another year, but I'm not going to give Him another year. I don't believe God's really that way. If He can save you, He can, if you're going to go. But there comes a time that the Lord sees that you will not respond to the gospel. And the echoing call of the Lord is heard no more in people's lives. Lord, help us tonight.
Oh, my Lord.
And He shut the door. Those are terrifying words. Oh, Lord, give us one more chance. You know, it's easy for somebody to want to be saved, isn't it, when the waters are coming and all these things, without no heart to live right, no desire to be better, no real heart for God. I just want out of the trouble. You ever run into somebody like that? And you pray. I had a situation one time, and I'm telling you, I labored with that. It's one of the experiences of my life that I couldn't understand for the longest time. But there was a woman up home, and she was what they say, for prudence sake anyway, I'll say it, she was in the oldest profession. And she was troubled in her mind. This woman was troubled and troubled in her mind. And she would call for the saints there at Greenbank for help. Over and over and over, she called. She called for help, and we worked. And she came to the altar one time, and she went to help, and she could never, ever get help. And it troubled me. This woman would call us for prayer and call us for prayer, and she wanted help. She liked to go to all this to get help. And I just said, Lord, I pray, Lord, You died for this woman. Lord, this is the one You died for. Oh, I prayed and I prayed for this woman and over and over. And the greatest grief of my heart almost was when the news came and said she killed herself. She couldn't take it no more. And she took her own life. And I just, Lord, why? Why? And You're such a delivering, loving, merciful God. Why? Why? I know You died for her. Why? And the Lord allowed me to know why. And I understood it perfectly. She wanted delivered from her problems, not her sins.
Oh.
She hated she hated what sin done for her, but she never hated sin.
Oh.
She never was willing to give it up. She never wanted to really change her life. She just wanted the Lord bless her. And she would even say that to us sometimes. I don't want to do, I just want need the Lord to, if the Lord could just give me a better mind, I'd be better. If the Lord could give me a better body, a strengthened body, I'd be better. She never would say, I hate sin. Look what it's done to me. Lord, I'm sorry I ever done. She never made that place. And there come a time, I believe, in her life. I don't know when, but I believe there come a time in her life that I don't think there's enough people to pray to open the door back.
That's right.
Because it was closed. Throughout her life, the call going out, the door got closed to her ability to receive God.
Oh.
And it was closed. God loves her. I know God loved her.
Yeah.
But she was closed to hearing it.
Oh.
Lord, help us tonight. I remember the story of a young guy. It comes into my mind quite often. A young boy, 17 years old. He was in my hometown. He played football. When he was 16, he got a car. He liked to drive fast, kept getting speeding tickets. Well, he wanted to play football, so he went going to practice one day. He went to practice and he got a speeding ticket. When the coach heard about it, the coach, in an attempt to make men better, he punished him for it. Got tickets again. We don't want that kind of behavior. You're going to run laps. And I had him running laps for it. Upset the young man. So much so, after the practice, they was going to a banquet, a spaghetti dinner they was going to. And most everybody was on the bus, but he had his car and he was driving along. And he come up to a place and he grumped down on it, and around that school bus he went. And they said he passed that school bus, and up there in them mountain roads, you never know what's going to happen in a little bit. And when he going around the bus, another vehicle was coming, and he had to get in quick, and he jerked the car to go in quick, and he went too far, and he had to jerk it back. And when he did, he rolled 9 times right down the middle of the highway, right in front of that bus. Right in front of the other place, right in front of all them, and gave his life there. And I couldn't help from thinking from that time. 17 years old, Lord, is that all the call is? God is merciful, folks. There comes a time, sometimes young in life, that people set their course so hard. They set it so much. I can't help from thinking that there comes a time that the last echo of call, even young sometimes, is gone. Is gone. They ain't going to do it. Brother Sam is blessed his heart. He was a wild and rough guy. And over and over, when after he got saved, he could look back and see where God spared his life, spared his life, spared his life. The very tourniquet that he should have been on the Laffey, the ship that he was on in World War II, he got thrown in the brig the night before, and the next day in battle, that place was shot off, and the man was killed, and he was off in the drunken stupor somewhere, in trouble. God spared him over and over, but one day he saved him. One day he saved him. And you know what Brother Sammons used to testify to us about? You know when he got saved? When the preacher had preached and he would resist it and he would resist it, and finally the brother got up and said, "We've said all that we can." And he said that just was like the Spirit of God said it to him. "I've said all I can say." And he said the fear run through him, and that's when he went and gave himself to the Lord. Probably the final call. Yeah. The final call was being made. "Would you come? Come unto me." It's not God. He never stops loving. But it happens in the heart of people.
Yeah.
Lord, help us not to harden ourselves. God is calling not only for eternity, but for better life here. Now, I want to look at a scripture along with this. It goes in the 8th chapter of Proverbs. I've had this on my mind for quite a long time. And that's a very familiar scripture to me, but I could not come up with that. And I asked Brother Leslie before service, and he knew where it was at. The 8th chapter of Proverbs says, first verse, "Doth not wisdom cry?"
Yes.
"And understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the cities, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call."
Yeah.
"And my voice is to the sons of man." You hear wisdom calling tonight? And you say, "That's too abstract. What does that mean?" I know, I remember one time where I read that and I scratched my head and said, "That's just too abstract. I can't get a hold of that." But you know what? Wisdom cries all the time. Boy, it cries continually.
Yes.
You know, when I look and see the broken, battered body of a man that's drunk in his life, wisdom cries.
Yes.
Wisdom's crying to me saying, "Look what this has done. Do you see what it's done? An argument of whether you can smoke or not. Wisdom cries, don't do that. Look what it does to your lungs. Look what it does to your health. Look what it does to your ability to have temperance in your life. Look what it does. Wisdom cries. Look at the wisdom that cries at our young people that run out into this world and run full tilt and destroy their lives with the substance of this life. Look at that. Wisdom cries against those things. Look at the divorce rate. Look at the illegitimacy rate. Look at those things. Is wisdom not crying to us? You're on a crash course. Come away from that. Look at the religious world accepting homosexuality and drunkards and everything right in the pulpits.
Yeah.
This wisdom not crying of the outcome of the sowing of seeds?
Yeah.
Surely it does.
Yeah,
it does. Doesn't wisdom cry that if you sow it, you'll reap it?
Yeah.
If you plant it, it'll come up on you? Reminds me of the story somebody told. I wish I could remember who told it, but somebody told the story that their dad gave them a job of planting beans, and they was out, and he said, "You can't quit till you get all the beans planted." And so they planted a few rows of beans, and they got the big idea, and they went over the stump and poured the beans out and covered them up and said, "We're through, we're through," and they went on their way.
No.
Never going to think that you'd ever be known, because you hit them. You planted them. You hit them down in the ground. You can't see them down there. But Dad came by a few days later, and guess what? There's beans sprouting up all around this stuff, a whole bunch of them. It don't take a rocket scientist to know the children poured the beans out over there. Wisdom cries, folks. It's crying to your life right now. It's crying. We've seen the results of these things.
Sure.
It sprouts up, and if you plant a bean, you get a bean. You plant a harsh word, you'll get one back. You plant discord, and you'll be in discord. You plant strife, and you'll have contention around your life.
That's right.
Wisdom cries. I had a grandpa on my mother's side that for some reason he had a big house full of children. They was 12 of my it was 11 of my mother's siblings. And my grandpa, I never knew him as a kind man at all. Oh, he was kind to his cat. But he wasn't kind to anybody else. If the grandchildren come through the house, all I can remember was grandpa and a big roar. about how the door was to be opened. You walk too heavy, or it was just a roar. Always bickering at grandma. Always had, he was a man, and in their lives, he never treated the family very well. They would be sometimes and completely out of food, and almost completely. They used to can up a lot of blackberries without sugar. In half-gallon jars, and sometimes the only thing they had to eat was them berries in that jar, without sugar.
Oh.
That's got pretty bad, and Grandpa's off, and maybe he comes home drunk, or maybe he's off at the deer camp, being the cook there for 3 weeks or a month or whatever, just left the family. Well, obviously the family didn't have much respect for him. And when I grew up, to be fairly, I've seen it many times, his sons were big strapping men, 6'3", 6'4", big men. And I've seen many times them come home for a visit, and when they get ready to leave, they go in and they would hug and say, "Mom, you take care and we'll be back to see you." And they'd love Mom a little bit and say some kind words, and they'd turn around and walk through, and Grandpa would be over in his chair, and I've seen him do it many times. And they'd go over there, and before they leave, they'd look over there and say, "Get up, old man, I think I'll slap you around a little bit." And they'd be laughing and joking. Of course, he's down, he can't even hardly get up now. And they'd come over and box his ears, and he'd be a cussing and a swearing, and they'd get him riled up real good, and then they'd laugh as he went out the door. It's horrible enough, yeah. But wisdom cries. Wisdom cries. You sow it in your life and see what kind of respect you get from your children. Children are impressionable. Children remember things. And you know what's inevitable about children? They grow up. You better always remember they grow up. And wisdom cries. I've seen it before and used it in my life. I've seen a pattern. I don't want my children thinking of me like that. And so wisdom cries out, if you live a certain way, you're going to reap a certain thing.
Right.
It cries.
That's right.
You hear it crying tonight? It's calling to you. Could there be a time that you don't hear the wisdom that's calling? The world's not hearing much of it.
Oh, dear Lord.
I look at some of the things that they put out there in the world as solutions to problems, and I sit and shake my head. I read some of the articles in the paper that they talk about with certain things, and I sit there and shake my head and think, they really think that's going to work? It's never worked before. You can't accept those things like that and get God's blessings on it. Do you know what kept the nation of Israel safe from other countries? I want you to think about this. You know what kept them safe? It wasn't that they had nuclear bombs.
No.
They were safe when they was faithful.
Yes, right.
Because God just made the land to be at peace for them.
Yeah.
He done a work.
Yeah.
And do you know when they rebelled against God?
Oh.
They warred.
Yeah.
They was at war the whole time around because, and I ain't proposing now, I know what kind of a wicked world we're in now. But you know what? God ain't pleased with it.
No.
Oh, don't imagine we can change the whole world or this country. But Lord, help us to deal with the world that we've got in.
Yes,
there'll be a last call made for every one of us. The Lord calling after our lives, desiring us. I'm going to read a little bit more of this scripture in Proverbs. 6th verse, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things.
Yeah.
For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge.
Yes.
Receive my instruction, and not silver,
yeah,
and knowledge rather than choice gold.
Amen.
For wisdom is better than rubies.
Yes, right.
And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Wisdom. He's using it is this way that wisdom's talking to you.
Yeah.
The things that's understandable about life, it's not hard to stand that. The scripture says, "I went by the field of the slothful."
Yeah.
The laziness and indifference is unwise. It doesn't gain you anything. It's unwise. Wisdom, in a definition, is the ability to know what the end of a matter is. If I do this, then this is the result of it. If I follow this path, this is where this path goes. If that's what wisdom is, if I'm lazy, I'm going to come to poverty, the Scripture says. That's being able to apply wisdom. If I don't work, I don't get there. Our country and the people of it that are around it, I'm going to tell you, they try to make laziness a benefit. It ain't to any people. It's just not. It's not good to reward it. It's just not good. It's all kind of things. I can see it. I want to teach my children. It won't profit you. Be active. Be doing. Be diligent.
Yeah.
Be diligent in all your life unto the Lord. Wisdom cries. I'm glad we know these things.
Yeah.
The fear of my heart is there's many people are still claiming religion, but they're going away from the principles of all of them. It nothing matters. Just going away from it. It's like they can't hear the call. They don't hear the wisdom that calls, that says that faithful men have been faithful before us, and what did they do? How did they respond? How did they act? With diligence, with passion, with desire. They gave their heart. They gave their lives. They gave their things. They didn't care for the world around them. They didn't follow the fashions and fads. I see that wisdom cries. It worked for them. It worked for them.
Right.
I want it to work for me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh. I, wisdom, dwell in the prudence and find out knowledge of the witty inventions.
Yeah.
The fear of the Lord is to hate evil.
Hate evil.
Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth. Do I hate wisdom's in contrast to all those things?
Yeah.
The call's being made. And it seems as though people can't hear the call. Can't hear the call. Want to look at another scripture. Isaiah 65 and 12, I think is what I want. Says, therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before my eyes, and did choose that wherein I delight not. So the Lord was saying, I called, but there was a time that the call ends.
That's right, yes.
The call ends. I'm making a call for your souls. I'm calling for you to have a right life. I'm calling for a benefit. We think of God just sitting up there as some hard taskmaster. No! God is up there with the truth. He knows what will destroy your life.
Right.
He's trying to defend you against it. He's loving you by keeping you out of the ditch tonight. Keeping you away from the devil that wants to utterly destroy you and your family and all good and righteous things in your life. Wisdom's crying. God's calling. Come away from it. Come away from it. It won't do you any good.
Yeah.
It won't do you any good. In my life is where good's found. He said, you didn't answer. I called, but you didn't answer. Then about the same kind of language as in 66 and 4.
Yeah.
I also will choose their delusion and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes, and chose that which I delighteth not.
Yeah.
Oh. It was right there. The call. I hope we're sensitive tonight to the call. You remember the story of Elijah? There was a great noise.
Yeah.
God ain't in that. Then there was something. Went, no, God ain't in that. Then how did he hear it? Just a still. Small voice. A call. A call to your consciousness. A call to your heart. A call to the inside. Will you hear? Will you hear that call tonight? There'll come a time that there will be none.
That's right.
There'll be a time that it'll end. All things end. I know that for me, folks. I've accepted that. If God doesn't come back, there'll be a day that you'll bury me or I'll bury you.
That's right.
I'm going to lay there somewhere. You've seen it. The way they set the mouth. You've seen the folding of the hands. You've seen that. It would be ridiculous for us to deny it. It's going to happen. The call of God is important. There is people by the multitude millions tonight that would give anything that they could, but the only thing is they don't have anything to get the opportunity to hear the call. There was a man that the Bible talked of that lifted up his eyes being in torment in hell.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, that man would have given anything for the inspiration that had once been given to him. I know God dealt with him. And that call, he would have done anything if only there could be a call to respond to. But the last call was made. The Scripture teaches us that when we die, it's like, I think it would be Ecclesiastes 11 maybe, but it says, as the tree falleth, so shall it lie.
Yeah.
To the north, it forever lie to the north.
Yeah.
If it falls to the south, it forever lie to the south. And in the way that it falls, it will forever fall that way. The idea, of course, is of the human life. What else could even be meaningful to us?
Yeah.
We're the tree. We're the tree. And if we fall in God, we will forever lie in God.
Yeah.
But if we fall outside of God, we're going to forever lie outside of God. There will be no other call. The final call has been made to your life. Wisdom has called all your life and you didn't answer. God's called to save your soul. You didn't answer. All the proof God put in the workings of His universe. The fact that you reap what you sow is universal in everybody's life. And the wisdom speaks of it. You behave yourself a certain way. I'm going to tell you. You start coming home beating your wife, it's going to be real hard if you have a relationship. It's just the way it is.
That's right.
You're going to run the precious things. Wisdom teaches these things to us and it calls. But there was no answer. Didn't hear the answer. And so at the end of it, we fall. We fall.
Yes.
I want to hear the call. The Lord talk to you, any? I just love this about God.
Yeah,
He actively does. I just love that. The Lord speaks to us.
Yeah.
But I know this, and I thank God for it. God has to do something with me a lot of times to really get me to hear. And I'm glad He's willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to tell you, been in this meeting this week, and my little girl's been sick, and just about every night this week. She got sick Saturday. And I'm saying, I've been here before. This has happened to me so many times. Get right into that intense part of the meeting where I'm really praying for the meeting, and one of my children gets sick, and I'm in a place that I just am beside myself, trying to deal with it all, and I feel like I have nothing in me at all. And it's like the Lord says, it's right where I want you. That's right where I want you. So I'm packing my little girl around at 3 o'clock in the morning up there at the chapel walking around.
Oh.
And the Lord starts saying stuff. He starts that call. I want to hear that voice.
Yeah.
And you know, you have thoughts. I have thoughts in my mind. And all of a sudden, there's one of the Lord that it's different. Because it brings a rush of, or an explosion almost of inspiration. I mean, it's like, and then it starts firing. It starts firing this and this and this and it starts firing. And I'm there, thank the Lord. Lord, Lord, just bless. And I know you know what I'm talking about. The Lord inspires in His life with what He does. I called, but you didn't hear. Oh, you got this problem, got that problem. Are you listening? Oh, the fear is there'll be the end of the call one day. And God won't work in your life anymore. There was a man one time, I'm going to quit just real quick, but there was a man one time that was the first king of Israel.
Yeah.
Chosen as a humble man. He was humble.
Yeah.
man. And God chose him when he was little in his own sight.
That's right.
And he lived for God. He was God, but he got exalted in his own mind. He was lifted up. He was king. And he got exalted and lifted up in his mind. And there come a time that he needed some answers. He needed some answers. He had some things that he had to know. He had to know. There's no access anymore. The God that he had known, he couldn't hear the call anymore. The awe, the echoing call of the Spirit was gone to Saul.
Gone.
And what did he do? He turned to the most evil and wicked ways. Because we need answers. We need fulfilled. We need life. We need to be fulfilled. We need entertained. We need something to hold this old man. We need something. That's why people are rushing to the sensual things of the world. And they want it to make them happy, but it never does.
No.
Oh, it always tears down and ruins. But they seek it and they want it and they desire it. It's what really, I mean, there's not a bad in a lot of this, but it's why somebody goes after money and more money and more money and more money after they got more than enough money. What drives them to get more? They need fulfilled. And they can make money and it's a fulfilling. And why do they go to one step farther? Why does it start? I read a thing one time that said that they was looking at studies that shows that drug users almost always start out smoking a cigarette. That's true. And then the next step is marijuana. And somebody that never smoked generally don't go to marijuana first because they don't even know how to inhale and do all that. They start with a cigarette and then that works them up to they start marijuana. And if you once marijuana starts, the degree of goes worse and worse. Why? Because you need a bigger rush and a bigger fulfillment. It don't satisfy. It's got to be another one and another. And that's why people start off with this and this and this. And finally they get into the worst and the worst. It's tantalizing. Get worse and worse. Why? Because they need something. Saul didn't have it anymore. And he could not hear the voice of the Lord in his life anymore.
Yeah,
I know God still loved him, but he got to the place that the Lord said, there's nothing I can do in an evil spirit. It was sent to him. And he went from that point, he just went worse and worse. The man was awful. It's a terrible shame to what he got to. He tried to kill. Jealousy drove him to try to pin David to the wall with the javelin. And he was in there soothing him and helping him. And you know, David had honor to him and treated him like the king and God's anointed. And he was after him to kill him. All the time. There was an evil wickedness of the man and he couldn't hear the call of God anymore. And you say, I'd never do that. Will you tell me what addict did start out and say, that's what I want to be? When I was in school, they used to come around, grade school, they'd say they wanted us to write down what we wanted to be. All one year I said, I want to be a farmer, and the next year I said, I don't know who. I'd just kind of say, what do you want to be, Joe? And Joe, well, I can't see. And let's put doctor this year. We'd write down doctor, lawyer. We didn't really want to be that. We just high ambitions or just saying something. But I never, and a teacher would read them off. It was kind of a fun thing we did in class. I never remember one person said, I want to be a drug addict.
No.
I think I'll be a drunk. Well, that's right, drunk on there. Because nobody wants to be that. But you get there. You get there. What young couple ever looked in one other's eyes and said, honey, let's do this for 2.5 years and learn to hate each other and then we'll get divorced and split the children up and let's do all. Wouldn't that be a way to live life? No one ever says those kind of things. But it happens by the multi-millions out there.
That's true.
It's because God's left out and the call's not heard anymore.
Yeah.
I want to finish with the story of all in Revelations. Let's go to Revelations 3. 3 and... Verse 20. Behold,
yeah.
I stand at the door and knock. You hear it?
Yeah.
If any man hear my voice, he must be saying something, isn't he?
Right.
A knock at the door? Your heart's door? You know the old picture, it's been said many times, the old picture of the door And deliberately, there's no latch, there's no handle, there's no knob. And Jesus is standing there, knocking on the door. "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart, knocking, saying, will you hear me?" Jesus is a gentleman. God made us to have a will. He won't ride over it. But He yet calls. "Will you let me in? Will you let me in?" I thank God that He calls. "Will you let me? Will you be a part? Will you let me bless you? Will you be a part of my life?" Knocking. The voice being said, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me."
Praise the Lord.
And say this though, what happens when you don't open the door to Jesus' invitation?
He'll be gone.
It'll be gone. Oh, I had those times happen in my life, and I'm thankful He come back around at another time and checked the door again.
Yeah.
I had Him do it a number of times in my life before I ever give in. But I'm going to tell you, in the fear of God tonight, there'll be a time that He won't come by that door anymore. There'll be a time come that the Lord will know that the answer is no. And then the great call will be no more. The final call. You pray for me.